Well, I hope you're as excited to be back as I am for the 313th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. We're going to have a great time today. I know most of y'all are returned members of the congregation. I appreciate you coming back week after week. I really do. It tells me you get something out of it. It's encouraging. White pilling, if you want. If you are new, I'm glad you stopped by, and I hope you'll give the whole show a chance. You know, if you listen to the whole show and you say, that sucked, I'm never listening again, so be it. I will tell you roughly, very roughly, most of the time, but roughly the halfway point of the show, we will transition to the Christian-specific segment. If you're a Christian believer, I think you'll get something out of it. I'm pretty confident in that. And even if you're not, you're like, I don't really go for all of that. You know, you're free to listen. I put it in its own section so that, you know, you don't have to if you don't want to. It's up to you. If you want to go to hell, that's your business. So whatever. But you might give it a shot. You might give it a listen. It honestly may not make much sense to you if you're a non-believer, but give it a shot. What's going to hurt? What you afraid of? If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We got snail mail. That's it. I got snail mail. Look here on the description page for the show, right here on Radio Albion, on this page for the Parish of the Patriots. Look down at the bottom of the description that I figure most of y'all don't read anyway. And there it is. Snail mail, to use a little French for you. I guess it would be le mail de escargot. Snail mail. That's it. I know there's some crypto addresses on the Radio Albion site. Those were put up by Sven before he went away. Those are not mine. I don't have access. If you put money in there, I don't have access to that. I can't touch it. I'm assuming someday Sven will touch it. And that's fine. That's all well and good. But for me, it's the snail mail. That's it. And I know, as I said last week, I know for those of you outside of the U.S., that can be a little tricky. And I understand. Look, I get it. If you live overseas, I know it's doable because I have overseas listeners, you know, that do it. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate all of you throw something in the plate here. I'm not going to spend, go on and on about it. But I do want to say that I appreciate everybody. I mean, I've got Mr. T here every week. Thank you. I mean, I know it's hard to say something witty every week. I do appreciate it. And I know I always say that, but I mean it when I say it. And especially for, I understand those of you who don't live in the U.S. and you have to go out, and get your hands on dollars. That's even an extra. Most people don't put anything in the plate. And that's fine. It's whatever. I'm not whining about that. Those of you that do are small group that put that in. You get something out of it enough, you throw something in the plate. And I do appreciate it. And for those of you outside of the U.S., y'all are even having to go the extra step and get your hands on dollars. Because euros or British pounds sterling or, yuan or Japanese yen, whatever the hell, doesn't do me any good. Because I could exchange it, but they take like the vast majority of it when they exchange it. I don't want to give, that's not for the banks. Anyway, I do appreciate it. And like I say, a special mention to those of you who are outside of the U.S. and you have to go to the extra step of getting your hands on some U.S. dollars. I do appreciate it. And look, if you can't do that, and this, I guess what I wanted to say, if you can't do it, I do appreciate like the sentiment, I had someone email me recently that's outside of the U.S. And, I explained to him again, this is what I got. Snail mail. And what I told them, if you can't give, it's too much hassle, you can't get a hold of dollars, whatever. I get it. And I do, but I do appreciate the sentiment nonetheless. Let's do this listener supporter mailbag. As I said already, Mr. T, I do thank you. And we got one more. And there's quite a few good points here. Normally, look, y'all's notes, I read the whole thing. I always do. I do cut them down for brevity's sake. And or if there's things that, I think could be personal identifiers, even though most of the time it's like it would be extremely against the odds that somebody would take some little nugget of information and figure out who you are. so they could cancel you. But I'd always try to err on the side of caution. But this one's pretty lengthy, but there's some good stuff in here. So we'll hit a few of these points. Let's see here. Dan, on a recent show, you had mentioned the lawsuit that over this USAID thing, to let the Democratic Zionist commie crooks back into the emails. A couple of questions. Because I was talking about, they're scrambling around wanting back in there because they're trying to hide the evidence. They're trying to get in there. And that's been an interesting unfolding thing here. I'm going to get to the listeners' points here in just a minute, but why didn't that unfold? You had this judge the other day demand, they tried to make an injunction to force Trump to give these NGOs their money. Their money. Like, it's their money. You got to give them their money. And I'm like, what kind of, I keep seeing these courts and I think, it's time to have that moment, The courts have made their ruling. Now let's see them enforce it. At some point, it's gotta happen, I think. But anyway, I think that got tossed out. I think the Supreme Court said, "Yeah, no, you can't make the president give NGOs the tax money because they're entitled to it." Anyway, let's see. Listener point here: number one, Trump and Musk already have access to all the codes and accounts before this ruling. Number two, so if, let's see here, so if they do anything illegal, it will be monitored. And it gives I see where you're going here, and that is, it makes you wonder how much access they do have. Let's see here, so if they do anything illegal, it will be monitored, and they'll be writing their own arrest warrants, if it's not already be written, but basically the information that they already have. And of course, as they go in, they could be, coming up with deeper stuff. And number three, also don't ever forget the NSA records all electronic communications. Now this, I see what you're saying here, which brings the question: how much control does Trump people actually have over these intelligence agencies like the NSA? That's a big question. Don't know the answer 100%. And let's see here. Number four, Trump says he's going into the IRS now with no arrest warrants filed from the previous USAID investigation? Go figure. Anyway, in the love of Jesus, and I'll say it as CJ, because y'all know how I am. It goes back to that anonymity thing. A lot of good stuff here. Yeah, the IRS. One of the things that I have found, well, before we get into that, I said this to somebody just the other day, talking about this stuff. And I told him again, I really look at, I still look at all of this in the context of what, Trump's negotiation to be able to get back into being president. What we're seeing play out is what he got. And we're seeing how good of a deal maker he is or is not. Now, I think it's pretty obvious what he agreed to, and that's the Greater Israel Project. That's why right away it was basically this crazy talk about turning Gaza into a resort or whatever. And I'm pretty sure that what he has agreed to as far as what he's giving is basically Israel is going to get what they want, which they did that anyway. But essentially, they're greenlit for their Greater Israel Project. What we're seeing unfold on the domestic front is, okay, in exchange for this. Now, he's probably given more as far as the Greater Israel, but I think that's probably the center of it, is the Greater Israel Project. I suspect we'll see Israel making some other provocative moves, and the U.S. will make sure everything is in place to grant them what they're desiring. What we're seeing playing out on the domestic front is what, in exchange for that, Trump is getting. With all that he's doing, the media is whining, but they're not hysterical. I obviously there's a few lunatic ones that are, but I'm just talking about the overall mainstream media narrative. They're whiny, but they're not having this extreme meltdown. Why is that? Well, because the word has come down from above, shut the hell up. You know, they're fine with them whining, but they're not, what we're not seeing is this conservative narrative effort to undermine, you know, and stop him. Well, why is that? Well, because he negotiated this. This is part of the deal, you know, and both sides have got to keep their end of the bargain up. If the Greater Israel Project is going to move forward with whatever steps Trump has agreed to do down the road with that, then they can't renege on the domestic stuff. They got to just let him go ahead and roll with that. And so, you know, making sure the media doesn't, you know, start piling up some BS narrative is going to be, you know, going to be a play role. They got to hold up their end of the bargain. That's the way I continue to see it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not all about, you know, if we get something good, take it. One of the things I really have found amazing about this, and I've said this multiple times before, it's not just the USAIDS thing, as you say, the USAIDS thing. It's the breadth of it. You know, the corruption. I knew this whole system is corrupt, but it's bad. It's worse than even I knew. I told somebody the other day, you know, we talk about these ridiculous budget deficits that the U.S. runs, you know, the debt, the national debt. And I said, you know, starting to get a glimpse of how far and how deep, how everything is just parasitic. I said, it's possible that if you could eliminate this, that the U.S. government is actually running a massive budget surplus. You know, they keep telling us, well, the government doesn't have money, you know, to fix the health care or whatever the hell. If it turns out, and this is the way it looks like to me, everything, it's not just USA, all of it, all of these things are money scam. Everything is just being parasited off. They're sucking us dry. There's nothing but ticks on the dog. If you pulled all the ticks off, it's possible they're running a budget surplus. It's just that all the money is literally being stolen with these various money scams. Now, will we get to the point where they actually, you know, really reveal that? I don't know. I hope they do. But we'll see. Again, I you know, any win, anything that is, you know, reveals the nature of the system like this is, I'm for it. Excuse me. I'll take the win. I'm still fighting that nagging cough. It's not bad. I mean, you know, but it is. So bear with me. You know, I take it. I always scratch my head with people that are so negative. Look, I know what the system is as much as any of you. You know, but if you see something good, it doesn't mean you're suddenly buying into this system by saying, hey, that's a good thing. You know, if the people can see the massive corruption for what it is, that's a good thing. If nothing else, it strips that much more legitimacy out of the system. And I know I can hear the counter argument. Yeah, but then these people think that Trump is going to save them. Look, the system is what it is. It is doomed to failure. It's in decline. No, that's not going to change. You know, I guess it's, you know, more of the truth being revealed is always a good thing. Truth will set you free. That is a good thing. Now, I'm recording this show on Saturday. Now, last week's show, I actually did it on the day of, which isn't very often. I usually like to do the show over the weekend. That way, I'm not rushing around. I don't have a time. I'm pressed for time. And I'm able to, you know, take my time getting the show set up. But the problem with that is, if I discuss current event type of things, they're always going to be a few days behind because the show airs on Tuesday. So that's why most of the time I avoid talking about current event stuff here on the Parish of the Patriots. But I got to say this. I'm recording the show on Saturday. So yesterday we had this hilarious meeting with Zelensky and Trump. And It was hilarious. It was just something. Trump, from what I've read, Trump didn't even want to meet with this old hobgoblin. Now, as those of you who've been listening, which is most of you, know, I've been saying since before Trump got in there, you know, back when the Biden people were still running things, back last summer, fall, I was seeing the hints. They were much more subtle then. They're becoming way less subtle now. After yesterday, we're not even doing subtle. But even back then, there were hints. Like if I was Zelensky, I would be taking the hint, grabbing my suitcases full of cash and hauling ass for Tel Aviv, Florida, wherever the hell he plans to go. But this guy, he's bought into his own bullshit. He likes the celebrity. He's probably doing drugs. You know, there's more than a few people that are saying he's doing a lot of drugs. I don't know if that's true or not. But whatever the case may be, I mean, if he is, the reason I bring that up, if he is, it kind of explains this. But he is an actor, and he's an actor now who is confused. He's lost his identity, and he's been playing this role nonstop for however many years. And now he's lost himself. He really thinks that he's his character that he's been playing. He's lost touch with it. And the hints last year were more subtle, and he wasn't taking them. And I was like, this guy better start taking the hints because things could get ugly. Well, fast forward to now, and we're not even doing hints. I really think this guy now is done. I think it's quite possible he's lost his opportunity to take the suitcases full of cash, you know, the Bitcoin hard wallets, Swiss bank accounts, whatever the hell else he's got, and get out of the country. I think the time has passed. He should have got out. While the getting was good, there's a time to do it. You know, if you're one of these people who are willing to take, you know, in exchange for a bunch of money, you're willing to partake in the deaths, the responsibility for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, then a key element of that is you better know when the hell it's time to get out. You know, if you're going to be the face of responsibility, that means hundreds of thousands of people have died. That's a lot of people that want to see your neck stretched. You know, I've said this for a long time. It's common knowledge that the British and the U.S. have been operating special forces in the Ukraine since the beginning. And there's a lot of debate on what they're doing there. I believe one of the main jobs they're doing is guarding Zelensky, because that's the only way I can fathom that some element of the Ukrainian military hasn't put a bullet in the back of his head. I mean, you know, hundreds of thousands of men have died because of this. You know, it's not just because of him, but that's how the people in Ukraine are going to see this, because of this guy. After yesterday, I think he's missed his opportunity. It is possible if he just grabs the money, gets on a plane, and just hauls ass for Tel Aviv, he might. But I at this point, I'm skeptical of it. Now, you might end before, but he's Jewish. That's not going to happen. You know, Dr. Johnson's in one of his recent shows about the Ukraine, he's talking about, you know, the rich Jewish oligarch there in the Ukraine that's responsible for putting Zelensky in power. Zelensky turned around and threw that guy in prison. This is, you know, once that sort of thing starts happening, you know, you're, it doesn't matter. What do I want to say? It doesn't matter. He's not a big fish. He thinks he is. He thinks he is, but he's not. I think this guy has, after yesterday, I think this guy has pretty much signed his own death warrant. Who they're going to replace him with, I have a few theories. I don't need to get, but I do think what's important is I do think he's going to be replaced. You know, the Trump people, Trump was saying he needs to hold elections. I think after yesterday, that's probably off the table. I don't think they're going to wait for elections. Trump keeps saying he wants a deal done. Well, the Russians keep saying, how are we going to, you know, how's this guy going to sign a deal? He's not even a legitimate president. All they have to do later is say, well, that guy, that don't count because he wasn't a legitimate president. And that's, you know, that's a good point. Trump was saying, you know, he wants elections. But he also keeps saying he wants it. I want a deal. I want a deal quickly. I think we're going to have a deal really quickly. After the fiasco yesterday. Because what Zelensky did yesterday on Friday. I keep saying yesterday. Again, this show was on Tuesday. I'm sorry for that. Because I'm recording this on Saturday. What Zelensky did Friday is a publicity stunt. He got in front of the U.S. media and tried to do this publicity stunt. He thought he could box Trump in on this thing and put pressure on him to give me more money. You know, you've got enough money. You got to know the Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away and you got to know when to run. This guy, if I was this guy, and I could never be this guy because I'm not going to kill people, be responsible for people dying in exchange for money. I don't give a shit how much money it is. I'm just not that type of person. I know most of y'all aren't either. You can't imagine what it would be like to be that guy. Praise the Lord for that. But if I was that guy, if I was that guy, I wouldn't even fly back to UK. He's in the U.S. I would either stay here or just take the plane instead of going to Ukraine, you know, go to Israel or whatever. I don't think it's going to be elections now. I think when Trump was talking about he needs to hold elections, that was the hints being less than subtle. They're not asking. This guy is a puppet. The Ukraine is a puppet state. And the puppet has forgotten he's a puppet. He thinks he's, like I said, he's an actor that's been playing, you know, not to be sympathetic, but to understand it, you know, imagine being an actor and playing a role nonstop for years. Of course, you're going to start losing your identity and you start thinking you're actually this role that you're playing. And this guy has done that. He's completely lost in the role and thinks he's this guy, the guy in the green t-shirt, bravely fighting the Russian menace. It's hilarious watching him just vomit these talking points out about, you know, everything from Putin wants to reestablish the USSR and whatever other nonsense. I don't think we're looking at elections for Zelensky now. I would be surprised. Or let's put it a different way. I would not be surprised if he's gone before the end of this month. Maybe within the next 2 weeks, as the saying goes. Well, I would not be surprised if at the end of March he's gone. And for that to happen, it's probably going to be a really ugly replacement. It's probably, I would guess, going to involve the military. But he's going to be gone. One way or the other, he's going to be gone. I don't know if it'll be by the end of this month. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. Because now we're beyond hints. You know, every signal, every warning light on the dash has been lit up for a minute that it's time to get the money and get the hell out. He's ignored that. And now I think we're beyond that. We'll have to wait and see. But I told somebody yesterday, I said which would have been Friday. I told somebody, I think the guy just signed his own death warrant. I mean, all it takes is just a minimal knowledge of how the U.S. operates. You know, I mean, the U.S. uses people up all the time. They put them in here, and while they're handy to use, they use them. And then when it's time to discard them, they discard them. And if they don't take the hint and leave voluntarily, they have no problem. The USA doesn't have any problem with them meeting a bloody end. They just shrug their shoulders and move on to the next story. That's just the way it is here. That's just the way this, it's the way the U.S. empire operates. I think this guy, with the show on Friday, I think this guy basically has signed his own death warrant. He's been given every opportunity to get with the program. And what he showed Friday is he's not going to get with the program. If you're not going to get with the program with the U.S., they're not going to play nice with you. That's just not what they do. The U.S. empire don't play nice like that. And I do. I think this guy is on the short list. But we'll see. We'll see. What isn't on the short list, we got to get into the Christian-specific segment. I had other stuff I was going to say. Well, anyway, we have fun discussion. But I want to go ahead and get into the Christian-specific segment. And we're going to have fun discussion there. So, you know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, I'd like to point out once again that this segment is geared towards people who are already Christian believers. This is not intended. It's not set up. It's not designed to convince somebody, to convert somebody to the faith. It's just not. I mean, if somebody that's a non-believer listens to it and gets something out of it, that's great. But it's structured and designed for people who are already Christian believers. That's why I put it in its own section. And that's what this is. And I say that because for a non-believer, and I always do, I always encourage people, give it a try. Even if that's not your thing, give it a try. But I'll forewarn you that if you're not a believer, a lot of the stuff we talk about, quite honestly, probably isn't going to make a lot of sense to you. So, you know, with that out of the way, one of the things I've noticed that so many people, you know, and myself in years prior, I mean, all of us, we really misunderstand. And again, this is geared towards people who are believers, but we don't understand prayer. A simple thing like prayer, a fundamental part, such a fundamental element of our faith. And by and large, the vast majority of people just don't understand it. And that's not really surprising, because when I say a vast majority of people, I include in that preachers, teachers, supposedly, you know, respected figures in various denominations of Christian churches. And you listen to these people speak, and they don't understand prayer. How many times have you yourself, or have you heard a fellow believer talk about, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't know, God's just not answering my prayers. You know, I prayed and prayed, and God just didn't answer. I don't know. And I try to, you know, keep a stiff upper lip, you know, and say something like, it's because my faith is lacking. We're going to get into all of that. You know, is your faith lacking? Is that why your prayers aren't being answered? Is God just turning a deaf ear towards you? Is that what it is? Maybe you're just coming up short. And I think when you start digging and peeling these layers back and talking about this, you know, you can get to the point to where you start questioning, you know, am I actually saved at all? I'm earnestly praying and setting my heart on the Lord, and I'm praying and praying about this thing, and nothing's happening. You know, what is up with that? Now, before we go any further, let's look in 1 John. Let's see. Yeah, 1 John chapter 5. We're just doing verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, remember, everything in the Bible is interconnected. We know that, you know, and I'm going to sit here jumping around, you know, from verse to verse. We know it was written, Jesus says, anything you ask the Father in my name, you know, you receive. I'm paraphrasing that off the top of my head. These things are all connected. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard preachers basically read this and say, if you have enough faith, God is going to give you everything that you ask for. He's a loving father, and your loving father is going to bestow upon you anything you ask of him. You just have to have the faith. You want that new house. Pray to God that you will get that free house. I want my own new private jet airplane so that I can spread the gospel across the world. And I'm praying that you will give me the money to get my new... You get the point. And if you don't get it, then you just don't have enough faith. We can laugh at these idiots, but the problem is there's honest to goodness people that are just ignorant. I'm not being insulting, ignorant, and in, as if they don't understand. They don't understand because they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught because nobody's explained it to them. And nobody's explained it to them because a lot of the people they're listening to are morons and they themselves don't know. Or they don't care anything about that. It's just a money scam. Cough, cough. I want my own private jet airplane. You know, there's honest people that just, they don't know. So we're going to talk about it. You know, what is John saying here? What is the key elements here? Because if you just skim through this and read it without any context, again, the Bible is all about context. This book is thick for a reason. The only context is it'd be easy to skim through this and think, yep, if we have enough faith, God's going to give us anything and everything we want. Now, we all know, if you've been listening to this show, you know my view on this, and it's your faith. And this is actually, read the entirety of 1 John for some context, if you have time. If you're just killing a lot of time and this interests you, read the entirety of 1 John. It's very, I mean, chapter 5 is the last chapter. It's a very short book. And John says the same thing that I've been saying on this show. You know, that your faith is your actions. Righteousness is your action. If you say you have Jesus Christ, you follow his commands. What does that mean? Your action. Now, y'all know I always harp on that. Faith is not your feelings. It's what you do in spite of your feelings. Your feelings don't factor into it. The flip side of that, the good news here too, is the flip side of that is if your faith has nothing to do with emotion, then also doubt has nothing to do with emotion. Let's think about that. If your faith is you carry out something that you have faith that God wants you to do. Okay, in faith you do this. This also, again, these things are connected. If you think about Paul's discussion about some people eat meat and they do so in faith, but some people don't because their faith doesn't allow them to. In faith, in confidence, you take this action. The flip side of that, for what would be doubt, is it a feeling of anxiety, of questioning, of worrying? What if God doesn't do this? What if this is the wrong thing? The flip side of doubt is inaction. If you believe God wants you to do something specific, and we're going to get into the, shall we say, unlikelihood of that. And this people are going to take offense at this, but we got to keep it real. If you, in your faith, believe God wants you to do something specifically, and you don't do it for whatever reason, people might make fun of me. I'm going to alienate people. Friends, family won't want to have anything to do with me. If I speak this truth, if I do this thing that I believe in faith that God wants me to do. So you don't do it. That is doubt. Because you believe earnestly that the Lord has called you to do something, but you don't do it. For whatever, the reason's irrelevant. If you honestly believe God wants you to do something, then, and you don't do it, then that's doubt. If faith is action, doubt is inaction. Does that make sense? If faith is what you do, not what you feel, the feel, I can't stress that enough. And maybe because it hits close to home. You know, I'm getting old. Well, I spent a lot of my younger years not understanding correctly and improperly correlating faith with whatever, you know, if I was feeling confident in the Lord, my faith is strong. And as years have gone by, I've come to realize that's completely incorrect. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, if you pray for something, I want to reference what we just read here again, because there's a lot to break down in these two simple verses. But if we do something, if we pray something in the Lord and for it to be fulfilled, if it's a part of His will, we have to be confident that He's going to hold up His end of the bargain, and He will do that. You may doubt, and by doubt, now let me, and by doubt in this sense, I mean, you may, let me scratch that. You may, in your head, you may emotionally question whether God is going to do that. You may have, you know, a part of you screaming in your head, you know, God ain't going to do nothing like that. Come on now. It doesn't matter. That doesn't have any bearing. God is not blown around here or there by your emotions. God's not sitting around going, well, I was planning to do this, but I can see that, you know, emotionally, you don't really think I'm going to do it. So because of that, I'm not going to do it. Look, if you carry out the action in faith, He's going to do it. You couldn't stop Him if you tried. Much less, joy. I have a feeling that maybe God might not do it. Well, of course, you in the flesh, you in this body, everything to do with the spirit is going to have this weird, I'm not so sure about this sort of feeling, because they're the two. The one is temporary. The carnal is temporary. The spiritual is permanent. You know, the temporary is always going to be conflicted. Of course, you're going to feel like, well, I don't know. Maybe God's not going to really do that. If you take the action, aka your faith, and connected to that is God carrying out some action. He isn't sitting around going, well, I don't know. You know, He's not like a fickle woman, you know.
I'm not sure you really mean it. Well, you say that, but I'm not sure you really mean it. Say it again. He's not sitting around
doing all that. He's about getting things done. If you're doing what you need to do to get the job done, trust me, He's going to do His part. Now, let's go back to what we read, because this is where I want to get into. And this is the confidence. See, now He's talking about the emotional confidence. A lot of times what we deem as faith is confidence. Likewise, a lot of what we deem as doubt is a lack of confidence. Our confidence, not our faith hasn't faltered. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, our faith hasn't faltered. What he uses, what's translated here, obviously he wasn't speaking Old English here, but the correct, you know, he's talking about confidence. That gets closer to what we're talking about. It's a hard thing to overcome. But it does play a role. And he says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. In other words, we're more confident. It's easier. It's easier. I mean, our faith is what we carry out. Our confidence gets more related to how we feel. It's going to be easier to carry out what we need to do in faith, our faith, if we've got confidence. If we lack confidence, it's much more difficult. But again, the faith is, at the end of the day, what we do. The confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything. Now, this gets to the misunderstanding people have. See, I see it right here. If you ask of Him anything, He's going to give it to you. Ask Him for that nice, I don't know, that new car, that beautiful house, the perfect 10 wife. Jesus is going to give it to you. It says right here, if you ask of Him anything, they leave out the qualifier, don't they? If you ask of Him anything according to His will, He heareth us. According to His will. Now, as I said before, people use that as an excuse. I prayed to God. I prayed and I prayed. And He just didn't bring it about. You know, God's will, I get, look, how do I say this? If you don't know, this is the most important two words, or I'm sorry, four words in this verse. And it's the part everybody skims over. God says he's going to give me anything. He's not Santa Claus. According to his will, he heareth us. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know what his will is, then shut the hell up. Don't waste his time. I'm going to come back to that. I want to keep going through 15 again. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. In other words, we know that we have whatever we desired of him. Lord, I'm looking forward to getting that new Gulfstream private jet. But you see, you have to tie that. But everything is sin. That's why I said the most important out of these two verses that we've read here, the most important four words are according to his will. According to his will. Now, the cynical would say, oh, well, you see, that's just an out. You see, he's saying that you're going to get anything you ask of him. But he's putting that according to his will in there. So that way, when it doesn't come about, because you know he's not going to really do it. That way, when it doesn't come about, you just say, well, I guess it wasn't according to his will. See, that's just an out. That's just, he's planted a rhetorical excuse in here. That way, if it doesn't happen, so, well, I guess it just wasn't a part of God's will to get the new house. But it was part of God's will for me to get that new jet airplane. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
See, it's just an out. And people use it like that. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but nothing happened. I guess it just, you know, it just wasn't in God's will. You got it backwards. What I'm trying to say here is, if that's what you're doing, and a lot of people do, hell, I've done it. I've misunderstood so many of these things over the years. And this is the process. This is what Jesus Christ accomplished in setting up God's original intention when he created the first man. We're supposed to be spending our lives working through this stuff. If you're working through it, yeah, I mean, there's nothing embarrassing about, man, before I didn't know nothing. Well, of course, this is the whole process. We're working through these things and learning them. That's his will. They get it backwards. And and here's the problem. If you're praying for something and it doesn't come about, and then you say, well, I guess I found out it just wasn't in God's will, you're not doing it right. And let me explain that, because this is very important. This will change the way you pray. If this sinks in, I'm not boasting and I'm not trying to sound, you know, pretentious or something, but it will change the way you pray. It really will. When John writes according to his will here, if you don't know what his will, you shouldn't be praying and asking for things as like a process of elimination. In other words, when John says, according to his will, it's going to come about. If you have no idea what his will is, then, as I said before, so crudely, shut the hell up. If you don't know, then what are you asking for? You're just blabbering. You know, Jesus, when he gave the Lord's Prayer as an example, always reference that. Look at what Jesus said. The apostle said, how do we pray? See, all these common questions that really we have circulating around in our minds. So much of it's answered. We've got to look. How do we pray? The apostles, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he gave them the Lord's Prayer as an example. He wasn't saying, you know, this is what you have to repeat, although that's fine. He's giving them an example, you know, of the structure. And he warned, don't sit there and just run your mouth like the heathen does. You know, don't just sit there and just babble on and like, I'll just wear God down if I just keep rambling at him. I got to the point, because We've all done that. If you're doing that, don't be like, oh, this guy. Look, I say that because it's an easy trap to fall into, especially if we're troubled in our hearts. We'll sit here and spend an hour just rambling on and on at God. Until at one point you stop and you say, what am I explaining to him? Ask yourself, when you catch yourself doing that, ask yourself, what exactly are you doing? Are you basically, if you can make God understand, then he's going to hear you and help you out. Think about that. That's essentially what you're doing in not so many words. If I could just make God understand, do you realize the arrogance of that? The insinuation is you understand something here pertaining to your life, but God just doesn't get it. So you got to make him understand. You be coming off like Zelensky in the White House. You just got to make God understand. No, God understands everything he wants and needs to understand. You're not going to explain diddly squat. According to his will, you got to know what his will is first. You want to know the secret. The secret to your prayers being answered is to be asking, you know, what Jesus say? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got to be asking, not for your own personal desires. You got to be asking what God wants. If you see something God is doing, if you see something and perceive that he's doing something specific, and you pray that he will accomplish that, he's going to accomplish that, right? Who's going to stop God? So your prayer is essentially guaranteed to come true. If you're praying for a new house and a new car and everything you want and lots of money in the bank, I can tell you right now, you ain't going to get any of that shit. I don't care how much money you send to the preacher on TV that says you will, God's going to bless it 100-fold. Look, he's scamming you. I'm not even going to give him the benefit of the doubt of saying, well, they just don't understand. They're misreading the Bible. I'm not even doing it. It's a money scam. Look at his nice suit. Look how he's living. He's money scamming people. You know, it just is. If you're praying for these materialistic things for your own comfort and your own desires, heck, it's even written elsewhere in the New Testament. You don't receive what you want because when you pray for your own wants, your own desires. If you're praying for a bunch of earthly things that you desire, yeah, you're not going to get any of that shit because that has nothing to do with God's will. God's will is not a process of elimination. If you see something in God's will, you pray about that. And it's going to be done. See, it's, how do I know what God's will is? I'm going to tell you. And here's where we, I made a quick reference to this early on in this discussion. I'm going to tell you what God's will is. Or how this works. We're going to get into it. As I've said many times, God's will, God's plan. I think of these things in two separate categories. The big plan, the overall plan. That is what Jesus Christ accomplished. This is not a small thing. The war, as it were. If you think of it in the context of a war, a spiritual war, the plan to win the war, the plan for the overall, the big plan that Jesus Christ accomplished for you, me, he accomplished in the Lord, fulfilling the whole intention God had when he started this project, when he made Adam. He had a plan. He didn't just create Adam on a whim. He had a plan to fulfill. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. We've talked about it enough times. I'll say it again. And that is that you have the opportunity now to spiritually mature and get ready for the life to come. This is the prequel. This is very short. You're in the womb. These illustrations of this in this world, the things we see and experience in this world, tell us about where we're at, about the bigger picture, about God. We are, in a sense, in the spiritual womb. And a baby's only in the womb 9 months and is born into this harsh world. We are only in this world for a short period of time. We're maturing in here. You don't want to be stillborn. You don't want to be rotting in the womb. That's disgusting. We're supposed to be spiritually maturing. As I always say, working through your issues, working through your stuff. That's the whole point. That's why Jesus fulfilled this, so that we could do that. If you're not doing that, you're wasting your time. Literally. This is the plan. Now, sometimes God is as a part of the big plan, because it's all connected to the big plan that we understand here. We just talked about. That's the big plan. Sometimes he does other things specifically because it's related to the big plan. You know, he'll give somebody a specific task. Obviously, we look in the Bible, and you know, all of the apostles had specific tasks. You know, Paul was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. No, we're not using modern terms here, but you know, those who would be considered outside of the traditions of ancient Israel. All the apostles, we look here, they had specific things they were supposed to do. Peter had a specific role he was supposed to play. Each one of these guys and other people throughout history have had specific roles. Sometimes God has something specific. I'm going to tell you this honestly, you're probably never going to see that in your life. Most people don't. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean God doesn't think you're important. You're important enough for him to send Jesus Christ to die for your sins so that you would have the opportunity to do the big plan. If you're a soldier, I used the war analogy. If you're a soldier, what do you worry about? You just worry about what you're doing. You know, unbeknownst to you, there's a special ops squad whose job it is to blow up a bridge to keep the enemy from sending reinforcements your way. You don't know about any of that. But you still have your role in the big plan, the war. Most people in the war ain't in special ops. Does that make sense? But everybody is doing their part to assure the success of the overall victory. And that may not be the best analogy, I admit, but the point here is, because we all are so self-centered, and that's related to the way this society is structured, the way that everybody out there, everybody, not talking about believers here, but you look at how people are obsessed with this idea of being some form of celebrity. You know, you got all these whores running around on the TikTok filming themselves and acting ridiculous because they want to be a celebrity. We want to be special. We want ourselves to be the center of the universe. And because of that, and because of that mindset, we all want, as believers, we all fall into the trap at times of being convinced that God has a special mission. And I don't know how many times I've heard preachers say this very thing. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your life. God has got something special. Look, you already know what that is to spiritually mature. That is the plan, and it is the overarching. That's the big plan. That's his will. Any preacher who sits there and tries to tell you that each and every individual Christian believer, God has a micromanaged special mission for you to do, is lying to you. You know your job. Your job is to spiritually mature. You're in the womb. That's it. Might he have a particular thing that he wants to accomplish and he's going to use you to do it? It's possible. But the odds are no. So what does this tell us? Why is this important? Because it goes back to those four words, according to his will. You want to know what his will is before you start asking for it. That way you know what's going to happen. If you just ask him for a bunch that you want, I mean, you might get lucky and a dart lands and it comes to pass and you say, oh, thank the Lord. Those four words, according to his will. You want to know what the will is before you start doing the prayer. You start making up special missions for God to do, you know, God has for you to do that don't exist, you're going to be disappointed. And then you're going to lose your confidence, and ultimately your faith is going to flip over and turn into doubt. In other words, you're going to quit doing what you do need to be doing, and you're going to start falling into inaction. Why? Because your confidence got shook. You're probably not going to have a special mission. Most people don't. That doesn't mean, and I want to say this again because I don't want anybody to misunderstand. It doesn't mean you're not important to God. Hell, the special ops, and going back to my maybe less than perfect analogy, the whole reason the special ops team is out there risking their, you know, taking on this risky mission to blow up the bridge is to keep you, to keep you, the foot soldier in the trench, from being overrun by enemy reinforcements. The five guys that are up there on a dinghy boat with the black paint on their face and in the night planting the bombs on the bridge so the enemy reinforces, they're doing all of that, sneaking behind enemy lines. They're doing their special mission so that you, they're doing it for you. For the, all of this, all you look around and all of your thousands of fellow troops in the ditch, these five guys are taking on that mission for your sake. They're doing that so you don't get overrun by the enemy reinforcements. So don't think that because the likelihood is you're not going to get a special tailored to you special ops mission, that, well, that just means I'm not very important to God. He cares about the special ops people. No, the special ops people are doing what they're doing for you. That's how important you are. Does that make sense? They're the ones going behind enemy lines for you. If you already done retreated off the battlefield, then they're not going to bother. They're a waste of time. They're going to get the order to go out there and do this. That makes sense. It is not that you're not important, because God only cares about the special, you know, that'd be like saying the generals only care about the special ops guys. No, the special ops guys are literally doing what they're doing for you. You know, if they can lose a special ops team, it ain't the end of the world. If the front collapses, if all of the foot soldiers get up and run off, then that's a much, much bigger deal. Does that make sense? If the foot soldiers in the trench get overrun by enemy reinforcements, that's more of a problem than the special ops team of five guys might get wiped out. So here we go. Let's get back to our prayers. According to his will. Well, you already know his will. We've talked about it at length here. Y'all probably tired of me talking about it, but I'm not going to stop, because I think it's one of the fundamental things we have to understand is our role here. You understand his will. So what should you be praying? You know, that you mature, that he will grant you understanding, that he will bless you with, you know, more knowledge, to gain knowledge. You know, thank him for what he, thank him for what he's revealed to you. You know, kind of really, if you think about it, it makes things easier, doesn't it? Instead of trying to guess and figure out, you know, what super secret special mission God has for you, you just look, well, I know what his overall will is because I know the plan. The plan is to spiritually, for me and all these other believers, to spiritually mature so when we're birthed into the real life, into the next world, into the next state of existence, we're ready. So I pray about that. Simple as. Instead of running around trying to make up a secret mission, you ain't a special ops guy. You're a foot soldier. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, you're the whole reason the few, the handful, have a special mission is for you to support you. See what I'm saying? Now, you know, a lot of times, and this is what I said earlier when we first started this discussion, it's going to change the way you pray. Now you understand if you're praying for something, it needs to be what? In accordance with his will. Stop with the Santa Claus, you know, the verbal Santa Claus wish list like a five-year-old. You're a grown man. According to his will. Your prayer is going to be short. And there's times you're not sure what to pray. If you got to say something, If you got to say something, just spend your time praising him. Make your prayer a prayer of praise. Start thinking about all that he does and his will be done and just praise him. I can guarantee you he's blessed you enough in your life. You're not going to run out of stuff to thank him for. He's given you understanding in accordance with his will. Now you understand him. Praise God for that. Understand? You know what his will is now. So now you know what to be praying about. If you're one of the relative few that God has a special thing that you're supposed to accomplish. Look, if there's something specific, how do I want to put this? I don't know if I want to put it because it could open up a whole nother thing that we could go off on, and we really need to wrap up. There are things that people do as they go through their life that do fill in and play a role in what God is accomplishing. It's not the same as having a specific thing. How do I want to put this? God exists outside of time. We know this. He exists beyond just simply time. He's aware of what's going on here in time. We're basically a petri dish, if you think of it that way. I always visualize an aquarium. God knows what's going on here, but he exists beyond, outside of the confines of space and time. I've said that so many times. Again, this is another one of those things y'all are probably tired of me pointing out. But because he does so, and as I've said before, this is where people get confused about do we have free will or not. You have free will. It's just that he already sees everything everyone's doing with their free will and where they're going to wind up as a result of their decisions. And so his will gets carried out because he already sees the big picture. He knows where everybody's going to wind up because he exists outside of time. So he sees all of it as it's played out, the pieces winding up where they're supposed to be. I'm going to stop that there because, again, I could go off on another 30 minutes with that. And maybe we'll come back to that. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, like I said, we got to wrap up here. I hope you understand. I hope you got something out of this. Because I think for believers, and as I said, as we just started off, this whole Christian-specific segment we do here, this is for people who are already believers. You can see where somebody who just comes in, well, I don't know, but I'll listen. And that's fine. I always say you might get something out of it. But for the unbeliever, none of this is going to make any sense. I don't think they're going to get anything out of this. This is for people who are already believers. And hopefully now you did get something out of it. You understand how to pray successfully. The key is given here, right here. There's the key. If you remember those four words, your prayer's going to be fine. You're going to be where you need to be. You're going to be doing what you need to be doing. Don't worry about it so much. Humble yourself. You're not the center of the universe. None of us are. It's okay. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I really appreciate you coming by. I really hope you got something out of all the show, but it's specifically the Christian-specific segment. That's the most important part as far as I'm concerned. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And as always, I hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.